20,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Jules Verne. Level 5. Retold by C.S. Woolley. Narrated by Jules Weekly. Copyright Foxton Books 2019. Chapter 1. In 1866, something strange was happening in the Seven Seas. As ships were crossing the ocean, they were getting attacked by a mysterious monster. It was a horrible sight, a long creature with tentacles, and some people even said that they saw it glowing. Sailors were terrified of going to sea, and some of the most experienced and ferocious captains refused to take their ships out of port. Without ships sailing, there was no trade between countries, and no passenger ships either. The problem of the mysterious monster became so bad that the governments of the world began to take notice of it. So many people had seen the mysterious monster, but nobody knew what it was. It was a lot bigger and faster than any whale that anyone had ever seen. Sailors and captains that saw the monster would tell tales about the beast that got wilder and more exaggerated with every retelling. The only thing that was certain was that the mysterious monster was huge, quick, and so scary. There were so many sightings of the mysterious monster that sailors began to write down what they saw. On the 20th of January, 1866, a steamship called the Governor Higginson saw something that looked like a strange reef in the water that suddenly came out of the water and went 150 feet into the air. 2 days later, another ship saw the same thing. It was 700 nautical leagues away from where the Governor Higginson had seen it. 2 weeks later, and 2,000 leagues away from the other two sightings, there was another one. These three sightings were enough to get the government of the United States, Great Britain, and Germany more than a little worried about it. People were gossiping about the mysterious monster and wondering about what it could possibly be. Scientists and journalists were arguing about what it could be in the newspapers. In 1867, we were still no closer to finding out what the mysterious monster was, but it seemed that it didn't cause trouble anymore. That was until March in 1867. A passenger ship called the Moravian hit a rock that had never been there before and suffered major damage. 3 weeks later, a ship called the Scotia from the British Cunard Line hit another rock that had never been there before on a different sailing route. But the crew of the Scotia all said that they hadn't hit anything, rather that they were rammed by something that put a hole in the side of the ship. After this, every disaster at sea was blamed on a mysterious monster, and the people were calling for the governments of the world to do something to end the danger this monster presented. My name is Pierre Aronnax, and I am a scientist. I had just returned from doing some research in the Badlands of Nebraska when I heard about the mysterious monster. Before I went to Nebraska, I was a lecturer at the Museum of Natural History in Paris. When the Scotia was hit, I was in New York, preparing to go to France. The reports of the tragedy said that it wasn't caused by a rock, a floating reef, or floating wreckage. Instead, all the experts believed that it was because of a giant monster, or a very powerful vessel that sailed under the water. Nobody believed that a submarine vessel was possible, because nobody had ever heard of such a machine existing before. Reporters came to see me in New York because I had written a 2-volume book called The Mysteries of the Ocean Depths. They asked me many questions about what I thought the mysterious monster could possibly be. I told the reporters from the New York Herald that I was certain that the mysterious monster was definitely a giant narwhal. A narwhal is a whale with a horn on its head, a bit like a unicorn. After the reporters put my opinion in the newspapers, many people agreed with me. It was much more likely that a giant narwhal had caused the damage than a submarine vessel. Even though people agreed with me, nobody was happy about the monster being out there. Merchants and insurance companies were the unhappiest of everyone about the mysterious monster. Every time one of their ships was attacked, It cost them a lot of money. They were so unhappy that they made the government of the United States put together a hunting expedition to find and capture the mysterious monster. Captain Farragut was put in charge of the expedition on a ship called the Abraham Lincoln, and I got a letter from the Secretary of the United States Navy asking me to join the expedition. I wanted to go home to France and rest after I had spent so long doing research in Nebraska, but a chance to capture a mysterious monster was too much of a golden opportunity to pass up. I thought that even if we were at sea for a few months, I could still go back to France afterwards. My servant, Conseil, had been my servant for 10 years and agreed to come with me on the expedition. I was 40 years old when I got the letter asking me to join the expedition, and Conseil was 30. There wasn't long to go before the expedition was going to leave. We got rid of most of the specimens that I had collected during my research in Nebraska. I thought that specimens from a giant narwhal would be extremely valuable. In fact, I thought that they would be much more valuable than the work I had been doing. Only a few hours later, the letter arrived. We were on the Abraham Lincoln and ready to go monster hunting. The Abraham Lincoln was a frigate, a fast and powerful ship that was perfect for hunting sea monsters. Captain Farragut took the ship out into the ocean to where the monster had last been seen. There were thousands of people at the docks of New York Harbor. All of them were cheering as we departed. After all, we were going to stop a sea monster and make the ocean safe again. Captain Farragut was a very good captain and the perfect man to lead the expedition. He was certain that we were going to find the monster, and he was ready to capture it or die trying. The whole crew were just as dedicated as the captain was to the expedition. They spent every moment looking for the mysterious monster, and there was a $2,000 reward for the first man to spot the monster. I was desperate to find the giant narwhal as well. Conseil was the only person on the ship that didn't seem to care about trying to find the mysterious monster. This annoyed me a lot, but there was nothing I could do about it. Everyone on the Abraham Lincoln was armed with as many weapons as you could imagine, but the ship had one very special weapon on it to help capture the giant narwhal. The greatest harpooner in the world, a man called Ned Land. He was a big man that was stronger and more stubborn than any man I had ever met. He was a French-Canadian from Quebec, so he was the closest to another Frenchman that I had on the ship. We talked in French while we were on the ship, and Ned Land told me tales about his great adventures hunting whales on the high seas. He was the perfect man to help capture the giant narwhal, but Ned Land didn't think that creatures like that could possibly exist. He didn't want me to talk about it, though. On 30th of July, 1867, I asked Ned for his opinion on the mysterious monster. We had been at sea for 3 weeks and were just off the coast of Argentina. We hadn't seen any sign of the monster so far. "There is no way a creature could put a hole in the side of a ship," Ned told me. I tried to convince him that it was with scientific talk and statistics. Ned remained skeptical about the monster. I was never surer that the mysterious monster was a giant narwhal. We asked other ships if they had seen the monster. None of them had seen anything. We came across some whalers, and we all got to watch Ned Land throwing some harpoons. He killed several whales for the whalers, and I was impressed by his abilities with the harpoon. The crew kept watching for the giant narwhal, but though there were a few false sightings, we were no closer to finding the creature. The only member of the crew that wasn't watching for the narwhal was Ned Land. He spent most of his time reading instead. We sailed into the Pacific Ocean and the China Seas, and finally reached the last place that the monster was seen. Everyone was even more alert than before, but still there was no monster. We sailed across the China Seas looking everywhere for the monster, but there was no sign of it. We had been at sea for 3 months and seen nothing. Everyone was ready to give up and go home, but Captain Farragut asked us for 3 more days to look for the creature. We all agreed to give him 3 more days. We threw bacon off the back of the ship to bring the monster to it. We launched the lifeboats to help look for it properly. But two more days had passed, and still nothing. It was the 4th of November, 1867, and the 3 days were nearly up. I was on the deck with Conseil. It was night, and the moon was covered with dark clouds. We were talking about the trip. We should have gone back to France and not come on this expedition. Everyone is going to laugh at us, I said. We deserve to be laughed at. We could have been at home all this time instead of chasing after an aquatic unicorn whale that doesn't exist, Conseil said. Ahoy! The monster is leeward, on the weather beam! Ned Land cried out suddenly. Everyone rushed to the side of the ship to look for the creature. It was off the starboard side of the ship, glowing in the distance, under the waves. That's just glowing sea life, one of the sailors said. No, it's the wrong kind of glow and it's coming straight at us, I cried. Full steam ahead! Get us out of here! Captain Farragut cried. The sailors rushed about the ship to get us moving, but the creature was too fast. It caught up to us and then swam in circles round the ship. The light of the creature suddenly vanished. Captain Farragut still tried to run away. I couldn't understand why we weren't trying to capture the beast. I can't attack the creature at night. I believe it's your giant narwhal, but I won't attack until the morning, the captain said when he saw my face. Nobody on the ship slept that night. We were all terrified of being attacked. At midnight, the giant narwhal disappeared, but an hour later, we heard the sound of it spouting water. Let me have a boat. I will go and capture the creature, Ned said to the captain, but Farragut wouldn't let him go. At 2 a.m., the narwhal lit back up, but it was 5 miles away from the ship. Even though it was so far away, we could hear it breathing and beating its tail. The rest of the crew were getting ready to fight the monster. At 8 a.m., Ned saw the narwhal in the daylight. It was only a mile away from the ship, and it was moving so quickly that it was leaving a huge wake behind it. Now that we could see it in the daylight, we could see that it was much smaller than the reports had said. It was only 250 feet long. We watched it moving. Suddenly, it fired 2 jets of water 120 feet into the air. I had never seen a whale fire water into the air like that before, so I knew that it was a new kind of species. Full steam ahead! Attack the beast! Farragut cried. The ship went towards the narwhal, but we couldn't catch it. It was just too fast. We chased it for 40 minutes without any success. The captain asked Ned Land what he should do. Keep chasing the beast. I will try and harpoon it, Ned replied. When we tried to go faster, the narwhal went faster too. We chased it until midday, before we decided to start shooting the creature. The first few shots from the crew missed, but when we did manage to hit it, the bullets bounced off its skin. We chased it all day. We thought it was never going to stop, but at 11 p.m., it stopped still, and our ship came alongside it. Ned Land was ready with his harpoon to strike the monster. We were only 20 feet away from the monster when Ned threw his harpoon, and it clung against the narwhal. It sounded like the narwhal was made of metal. 2 jets of water fired out of the beast, rocking the ship, and I fell into the sea.